I'm ICIS Chemical Business Deputy Editor Will Beecham, and I'm delighted to have with me today John Richardson, who's our Senior Consultant for Asia for ICIS, and also industry analysts for ICIS, Fanny Zhang and Rachel. Rachel, how do we pronounce your surname?
Chen.
Cheng, okay, who covers MEG and methanol. Thank you, I should have checked that before. And we're going to talk about the impact of the coronavirus on chemical markets, as we've been reporting prolonged shutdowns after the New Year holiday and movement restrictions. There's been a lot of stories on the Newswire about how these are now starting to disrupt chemical markets in China, not just for the producers, but for the downstream customers. I just wondered, maybe if I can turn to you first, Fanny, could you give us the latest news on the restrictions on movement and logistics, and whether things are getting more restricted or less?
Yes, okay. The information now is that because most province is resumed operations of business this week for extension of last week, most of the travel curbs, like lockdown of a city and seal off of roads that completely prohibit people or movements, are gradually relaxed, but only to some degree. According to transport authorities' data, more than 400 cities in 27 provinces out of a total of 31 provinces halted public transport service, like bus, metro, trains, in the New Year holiday period. And coming to Monday this week, the more part of those, only 38 resumed operations of public service. And we haven't seen large-scale resumption across the country. A small number of provinces like Sichuan, Guangdong, Hunan, Jiangsu, Fujian began to offer trans-province or trans-city bus services for people going back to workplace. However, long-distance buses are ordered to keep their occupation rate to below 50% to avoid this contagion. The transport ministry actually on this Tuesday gave us a finger that there are still around 160 million people going back to their hometown are not yet back to their workplaces. So because their travel restrictions are still in place in many provinces, right? And so overall, the picture is like big cities and big province where the cases are not that severe are more relaxed than those where like Guangdong and Zhejiang, where the cases are climbing quite fast. So their restrictions are more stricter. And in villages and small cities, especially the countryside, because of a shortage of protective suits and masks, roads are still largely in shut. They are resumed gradually, but for many provinces, it's still very measured. Not just blocking roads. They are opening to some cars and or trucks, but for trucks, you need to apply for permission from some governments. So this procedure, it also varies quite from province to province. So drivers are reluctant to go for or pick up goods because they don't know whether that province they are going to pass through will allow them to enter. So, really,
thank you, Fanny. And is your feeling that the restrictions are easing or getting more tough as the virus is spreading?
The central government asking for province to ease to based on their own situations. So different province have different situations. As I said, in Guangdong and Zhejiang, because their cases are quite high, so their measures are still quite strict. They don't allow people from Hubei to enter. If you are from other province, you are You're also asked to go for body checks, and if your temperature exceeds 38, you are go to for quarantine.
Rachel, maybe I could turn to you now. If you could talk a little bit about the impact on chemical markets. We've run a lot of stories about logistics problems, disrupted downstream demand, labour shortages. And as Fanny's just mentioned, there are 160 million people still in their hometowns are not able to return to work. How bad is the situation for chemical producers at the moment?
Yes, thanks. Well, China petrochemical market face the two biggest challenge at the moment is the logistic issue and the manpower shortage. As Fanny mentioned, the people cannot return to the factory on time. And according to the latest policy, people who transfer to another city for working, they are required to self-quarantine for at least 14 days, which means 2 weeks before start working. So that's the reason. Which means, like, let's assume people return to working city around mid-February, then he could only start working from end February at earliest. So China has also locked down more than 10 cities try to contain the virus spread. So a logistic issue restricted transportation, including like purchase feedstock and product sales, resulting in increasing inventories in many value chains. So the reaction is most petrochemical producers in China choose to lower their head. Actually, it is had to lower their output, including aromatics, steam crackers, local refineries, coal mines, methanol, and the China CTO MTO. So general operating rates at 50 to 70% at the moment. And we expect most producers recover their output gradually from Q2. This is on an expectation of the major economic activity recover from March onwards, as there is some signs of recovery in major petrochemical provinces such as Shandong and Henan could provide some support to the market. So in terms of the petrochemical demand, we estimate that petrochemical demand lost 15 to 25% in February, depends on the different value chain. So let's get into more details like aromatics. According to our estimation, February benzene loss demand lost 12%. So like polyolefin, demand lost 4% if we look into the whole 2020. And butadiene Q1 demand lost 15%. Methanol, February demand lost 16% compared to earlier estimation. Because especially from the methanol blending and MTB sectors, as China is restricted the transportation. Other segments, including like formaldehyde, acetic acid is expected to be down by 10 to 20%. If we are talking about fiber chain, like their feedstock PTA and MEG, February demand lost 15 to 20% as current polyester operating rate only at 60%. Yes, so that's pretty much current situation and our expectation on China petrochemical market.
That's so it sounds like it's really across the board, really. You've got steep cuts in operating rates across many or most of the value chains. Is that driven, a lot of that driven by downstream demand, by the fact that the customer segments are not able to function properly either?
Yes, of course. Because like if we refer to the consumption or downstream market, of course the consumption dropped sharply at the moment. But but we would like to expect that consumption would recover quickly or rebound retailtory even well above normal level after epidemic, after the coronavirus being controlled. It is because we are encouraged to stay at home currently, cannot go out for some consuming. So it is very understandable that as soon as the alarm off, everyone would just start to go out and consume, which is also happened after SARS ended. Yes.
Yes. So there should be a big rebound. And you mentioned second quarter. Is that when people are sort of hoping or expecting the restrictions to reduce or the virus to peter out a bit?
Yes, it is. This is an expectation of the virus have been to be controlled by within February.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Can I have one line here?
Sure. Go on, Penny.
An epidemic expert said earlier this week that he expects the epidemic may peak at end of this month and then plateau until easing in April. By May, he expects the disease will get totally controlled.
Okay, so hopefully it'll just be the first part of the year. And in terms of impact on GDP, are there any forecasts of cuts you can talk about?
So if we're talking about GDP, I would like to highlight our view first. We expect China GDP growth rate in 2020 probably be impacted by 1%. So if we take SARS, which happened in 2003 for reference, which is the most comparable case, in 2003, SARS outbreak from January and ended in June. SARS dragged down China GDP only by 0.5% in 2003. And we would expect the coronavirus impact expand to 1%. The biggest reason is different economic structure. If compared with 2003, tertiary industry accounting for larger portion in economic structure. The number in 2019 was 54%, and the number in 2003 was only 42%. So which the segment be the most impacted the epidemic? Sorry, yeah.
Yes, those percentages, what did they refer to? I didn't catch that.
I mean the tertiary industry accounting for the China GDP, for the economic structure, yes. So it have been the largest portion, which would be most impacted by the epidemic, as the most people can just stay at home rather than go out for consume. Yeah. So that's our general view on GDP.
Fanny, did you want to add something?
Yes, actually, I got some from analysts or economists saying that they are quite saying that the impact would be greater than initial estimates. Now they are talking about zero or negative growth for Q1, or for the full year, maybe just 4 to 5% instead of previous prediction of 5 to 6%. That's from economics. Not me. Okay.
So there are varying views on that.
Yeah.
And then just looking at the longer term, if it persists, we hope it doesn't persist beyond Q1. We've got some of the analyst team to do some forecasts for 2020, and they've had some quite steep cuts to demand for some of the big value chains. Would you like to talk about any of those?
Yeah. If you mean the longer term impact,
yes.
Generally speaking, we're basically confident that it would be getting back soon. So yes, as mentioned before, basically we expect the China major economic activities probably would recover from March. So if we mean in the worst scenario, on an expectation of the virus spread could not be controlled by end February, then we would like to forecast that the petrochemical market probably would recover from July, which means the second half of the year. But if you're asking my view, I would like to say we are very confident on the China government, so the economic activity recover from March is very likely to happen. And if the virus could be controlled by Q1, it won't have any impact in longer term, just like how we're going through SARS period.
There'll just be a delay in a rebound. Thanks, both of you. John, I wonder whether you could talk a bit more about the global impacts. You've been publishing posts in recent days looking at polyethylene and PX value chains. And of course, China is a massive consumer and producer. How is it going to play out, do you think, in terms of the impact on other chemical markets?
Well, yeah, thanks, Will. The problem is, of course, that China is the biggest importer of polyethylene, polypropylene, PX and MEG. And PX and MEG completely dominates global net imports, according to our supply and demand database of 2020. So it's just huge. So what you're going to see is those exporters to China cutting operating rates simply will have to, because there's no other market for them to export, especially in the glycols and PX. Polyethylene as well. You're going to see operating rate cuts the longer that this goes on. And I hope my colleagues are right. It sounds good that it could peak in March, which would be excellent. But there's no way they can place those volumes. And we're hearing stories of operating rate cuts already. I think they've been taking place probably in the Middle East and elsewhere already on response to what's happening in China. And then the problem with the polypropylene, that ships are being diverted from China because people can't handle, they're not the people at the ports to handle the cargoes. That's a rumour that is true. What I think is true is that material went into China into the bonded warehouses and it was re-exported because there was no market for it. So it went to Vietnam. So it's re-exported polypropylene. So those are the kind of distortions. And then you look at the PET resin chain, where China is the biggest exporter of film and bottle grade PET resin. So in Australia, some of the fast moving consumer goods companies have had to find alternative suppliers because the Chinese aren't being able to export their PET resin because, of course, the plant's not running. That's driven up prices in the Middle East, because the alternative suppliers are coming in. So there's opportunities as well, almost in a very hard economic way. Yeah. So that's the picture. And of course, the bigger concern, as my colleagues have highlighted, is that China is so much more important for the global petchem business now than it was in 2003. Again, looking at ICIS data, I looked at the 28 big polymers. And in 2003, China accounted for 22% of total global consumption of ABS, APS, polyethylene, polypropylene, nylon, fibers, resins, SBR, the whole lot, about 22% in 2003. This year, we think it's 43%. So you can see, you know, the longer that this problem goes on, the worse it will be for global growth of the polymer industry. So I very much hope it will peak in March. And I agree with my colleagues. I think the government will put an awful lot of economic stimulus into this. So we should get a lot of that growth back once it peaks.
Can you put a figure to, I mean, you're quite an expert on the polyolefins area. Do you have any idea what the impact could be in terms of demand within China, for example?
Well, this is very rough stuff in a sense that it's just talking to producers and traders last few days, Will. But we came up together with a guesstimate that we think, from the base case, my base case for polyethylene was a market of around 36 million tons this year. And we reckon demand, if it peaks in April, right, which, you know, is later than my colleagues expect, so hopefully they're right, this is wrong. If it peaks in April, demand will be down by about 9.6% versus the base case, which means a loss of 3.3 million tons of polyethylene demand versus that base case. Why people think it will, outside China, think it will peak in April is because of the hot weather. So this is the good news, that the virus does not like hot weather. The SARS was the same. In May and June died down in 2003 as the weather got hot. So we're hoping in April at the latest, it will peak and be controlled. But as my colleague said, let's hope it's earlier than that. So that 3.3 million tonnes will be an exaggeration.
Excellent. Well, it's been great talking to you, John, Fanny and Rachel. Thank you for your time. And let's hope indeed that this ends sooner rather than later.